if you reflect on your day right now as you're listening, how many people did you come into contact with today? How much social interaction did you clock up going about your day? Perhaps it was a shopkeeper at the corner store, then no one else all day. Maybe it's been days since you last had someone to talk to, sit quietly with, someone to help you or laugh with you. New Zealand wellbeing statistics show loneliness is on the rise, but the onset of the winter months can exacerbate feelings of isolation for all of us. We're joined now by Chief Executive of Age Concern, Karen Billings-Jensen, to talk about what we can do to protect against loneliness. Good evening, Karen.
Good evening.
Do you ever get lonely, Karen?
Oh, yes, I think it's part of the human condition at times to feel lonely. But because what we know is that social connection plays a huge part in our mental, social, physical health. So, yeah, I think we all have times when we feel lonely. But I guess we need to make sure that we don't always equate being alone with being lonely. They are two quite different things.
They are, aren't they? Can you continue with that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are many people that really like periods of solitude. Often those that are more introverted actually really value that time alone. But what we know is that those who are lonely are not by choice, you know, not taking time out to be by themselves. They can experience some of the detrimental impacts of loneliness and social isolation right through their life. And particularly for us, we're concerned around older people, particularly those without caring family or friends, because they're going to be more vulnerable. And then we certainly saw that through the years with COVID and with lockdowns. Across Age Concern, we just saw a lot of older people that were staying at home and really limiting the amount of time they left home, so therefore the amount of time they saw other people.
So what do we need in our life to protect against loneliness?
I think it is, as you were saying before, it's the interactions that we have with people. I think if you're someone that has quite a lot of interactions, perhaps you're out still working or at school or very involved in local activities, then you just need to keep doing what you're doing. But I think it's also important to think about those around us, think about our family, our friends, and then those in our neighbourhood that maybe we see are starting to withdraw, and they could be withdrawing for very good health reasons. They simply might not be able to do some of the things they used to do before. But so it's really just making sure how we can keep connected with them, how we can have those conversations, whether it's inviting them over or popping around with some baking, as used to happen, and just, yeah, connecting with people. And particularly, I think, as you've said, with winter coming on, that tends to force us to hibernate a bit more. So we need to be really aware of our behaviours and the behaviours of those around us.
Could you talk with us about what life's like for some of your members in the aged community?
So I think when they are lonely, and I guess there's a whole range of reasons that someone might be living on their own. It might be because of a loss of a partner later in life, so they hadn't planned to be alone, or they've just ended up moving or their family have moved away. And they might not be working and they simply might not be able to physically do some of the things they did, or they might not to be able financially to do some of the things that they used to do. So their life might be a bit limited by how they can engage with public transport or other forms of transport. How easy is it for them to get out and do some of the things that they used to do? And also, how affordable is it? So I guess there's those things that are all around someone's life that might make them withdraw a bit more. But what we do know and what we do see is that impact on people's health. Loneliness and social isolation are proven factors for poor sleep, high blood pressure, heart disease, and can be quite an indicator into a higher risk of entry into rest home care, so into not being able to stay in your own home. So I guess for some people, there's just that higher risk. And we definitely There's been numerous pieces of research around the impact of loneliness and lack of social connection on people's physical and mental health.
Can you share with us just the insights that you've had by surveying your members on the impacts of the Omicron cases?
Right. So last year, as the Omicron numbers increased, a number of our age concerns started to talk to their members just to find out whether their behaviour had changed. And what we saw over last year was that it had. You know, 64% of the members said that they were staying home as much as possible. And again, there were some very strong messages then around, you know, staying at home. We also heard that, you know, people, there was real high concern about catching COVID and concern around mask wearing and people not wearing masks as they were going out places. So there was, so what we found was they talked around most of their trips. If they did leave the house, it was very practical. It wasn't social. They were going to the doctor or they were going to do something quite practical. It wasn't maybe just meandering around the shops or catching up with people casually like it was before. And what we've heard is that some of those habits have been really hard to break. So once you've become used to not going out, it becomes harder to force yourself to go out. And again, with winter approaching, we can kind of see right now, there's pretty poor weather in Wellington at the moment. You probably wouldn't want to be going out there. The temperature's dropped right across the country. So it's an indication of people hunkering down. So that was really interesting to hear from our members. But then we also have volunteers who are out there visiting people. And we just recently surveyed a group of those and we found out that 93% of them said that they got so much benefit out of being a volunteer visitor themselves, that they felt less lonely, that they felt really good about helping someone, and that they felt that they were gaining empathy and some insight into someone else's life. So that was really interesting to hear from both the members and the volunteers over the last year what things are feeling like for them.
Absolutely. So can you just give some more detail on how the volunteer service works?
Right, so we have a volunteer service that matches a volunteer with people who are indicating that they'd like more company. So it's a bit of a, we obviously get people referred who are looking for a visitor. And so as part of that, we'll find out what their interests are, what type of visitor would suit them, what maybe what type of time of day they would like a visitor. Because that then determines when we look at those that are volunteering to be visitors, and they do go through training and we do some assessments to make sure we're putting safe people into homes. But then we can do some matching. You know, if someone is working full time, then maybe their only visiting options are on the weekends. So it might be that they need to be matched with someone who is actually looking for a visitor on the weekend. Or it might be that there's a real interest that these people share, you know, some common interests. But what we've also seen is the beauty of some real intergenerational visiting. So maybe a younger visitor who might not have grandparents around or might not have older family visiting, living close by, can go and visit and spend time with an older person. Because I think it's really great to see that, say, intergenerational conversations. That's one of the richness of life, really, is to have conversations with someone whose life experience is quite different from yours and how we can all learn from that both ways. That's, you know, the person being visited gets an understanding of maybe the younger person's life, and the younger person can appreciate some stories and listen to what it's been like for the person they're visiting. So it really is quite broad in terms of as long as they can go through the training and meet the checking requirements that we do, it's a really fantastic way to contribute very tangibly to making someone less lonely.
And if people were interested, how would they get in touch? Just to reach out to Age Concern in their area? Is that the best way?
Yes, well, they can, or they can just ring. We've got our 0800 number, 0800 652105. Which actually is also the age range of our cohort for Age Concern, 65 to 105.
Oh, I love it.
We'll let a few people in who are over 105. But anyway, That's the best number that they can ring, and we can transfer you through to a local aged concern. Or if you have a local number that you can ring or you've seen on the website, you can contact them directly.
And that, of course, works also for someone who'd like volunteers to visit.
Yes. Again, if this is something that you're interested in, I have to say that, you know, we are often a bit more challenged with volunteers at the moment. The period of COVID, a lot of people's lives changed, but we're really working hard to build up our volunteer base again, right across the country, and different areas have got different lengths of time that they're needing to wait to do that matching. But it's something we're really passionate about because we think keeping people connected is really, really important.
It sure is. Just to close, what's your advice if someone's listening and they want to make a difference? What do you suggest, or how do you suggest they start, Karen?
Well, I think, first of all, it's really looking around your own life and seeing who is around you and who do you have connections with and who do you easily have connections with and who would you like to have connections. I think if we think around the natural disasters recently and how communities pulled together, it's a real reminder that actually sometimes we don't know our neighbours and we don't know the people living in our street who might be a little bit more vulnerable. So I think it's really good to get out and have those conversations and make those introductions before we need to, before there's something that forces us to make more contact with our neighbours. So I think looking around our neighbourhood, when people are outside in their garden or walking to their letterbox, whatever, that's a good time to introduce yourself. But I guess it's also just thinking around your family and wider friend circle, who maybe haven't you seen for a while. How could you catch up with them? It is making an effort, but sometimes it can be very simple, just inviting them out for a coffee or arranging a time that you can just catch up, or even a phone call. We know that under COVID times and under lockdown, that a lot of people really appreciated calls. And Zoom, or however they could keep connected. So it really is just about pushing yourself a little bit to try and make a difference in someone else's life. And as our volunteer visitors reported, it actually makes they benefit themselves. Actually, having connection with anyone can enrich your life. And so I think, yeah, it's just really important to use all the opportunities we have to be connected to each other.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much, Karen. Really appreciate the insights tonight.
Great. Thank you.
All the best. That was the Chief Executive of Age Concern, Karen Billing-Jensen.